Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and this is a program about the exploration of consciousness, who we are as an evolving civilization, and it really seems like it is coming down to the wire here, 2012, and tonight's guest is very much connected to the evolution of our consciousness. She started a website called Alien Contact Therapy, and she is a contactee herself, and we're going to talk about the shift in consciousness that one has to have in order to be aware of who's here. So my guest is Joy Gilbert. Welcome, Joy.
Well, thank you. That was very nice. It's fun to be here.
Well, I feel I'm an experiencer, an abductee, however you want to phrase that. I mean, the term has evolved. But I know my consciousness has been influenced by something else, something inexplicable that isn't human in the way that we are normally taught to relate. And so it's been a point of confusion, investigation, and inspiration for me. So meeting people like you who I feel have, you've sort of put together a thesis in a sense about what's really going on. So what's really going on here?
Yeah.
Well, tell us a little bit about your background, but yes. Yeah.
Well, let's see. I started having really profound experiences, but as a little girl, I didn't think they were profound. I thought everybody had them. So, like, I'd wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom at, like, 2 and 3 and 4 years old, and I remember the age because of where we lived when I was a little girl. And there would be this blue-white light pulsating really extensively in my head. It was exquisite, it was beautiful, and I would spend hours hanging out there just thinking how cool it was. But I thought that everyone had those experiences as a little girl. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. No, I had similar, well, not blue light, but I kept, like, focusing on my third eye for some reason. I would do a sort of, when I was, like, 2 years old, I had this, like, idea to do this, like, light meditation, or the light came to me, and I thought that was me. So I totally
like you know when you're a child, don't you?
Yeah. So, but then, I mean, what's interesting about you is that you've expanded your consciousness to, I think, sort of almost merge with the other or something like that, right?
I feel like I am them and not human, even though I have a human body.
Explain that. Who are they? And
Well, the when they initially came and contacted me and let me know what they look like, because if you're raised in this culture, you're enculturated to believe certain things, believing in human beings and believing in the ideas of the Western culture and what's on TV and what the media tells you. So when they came for me in January 31st, 1993, and I got to see them for the first time. These are the same beings who had been coming to me my whole life and told me to go be with Maharishi and led me to the Tibetan Lamas and led me everywhere in my life, so that by the time they were ready to contact me and tell me that I was to remember who it was that I was and what I was doing here, that I was able to remember it. And I'm not saying I wasn't shocked or devastated, but
well,
that goes with
like
the territory, right?
What were they? Who were? What did they look like? The ones that you
This is where it sounds really goofy, but you know, we're just going to go there.
Yeah,
okay?
Let's just go.
And forget what people think or don't think.
You know, this is why I do the show, so people like you could come forward and just go there. Just say it as it is.
Okay, there is a group of planets who have been working to maintain the harmony and sustain higher levels of consciousness within the universe, not the galaxy, within the universe. And, of course, there are other universes. So there are beings that look different because of the planets they come from. So the beings that I'm associated with don't live in this universe. They live outside the universe. They have overcome time-space limitation. They don't even, that's not even in their, you know, mindset. That's something that we humans are still laboring with. Mm-hmm. But they've totally overcome all those kinds of constructs because they're older than we are.
Right.
And the beings I'm associated with tell me or have told me, but I only believe what I know inside my body to be true, Alan. And that's something that is very clear about my relationship with them and mm-hmm. what I see about going on in this on this dimension or in this planetary system or this planet Earth, whatever you want to call it. And that is that there are people who were put here, and you can use the word seated, but I think every human being on the face of the Earth has the ability to evolve. But some people will not evolve. They do not make the choice to evolve. In other words, presented with a combination of variables, they will inevitably choose the lesser value, and the lesser value being the material world. They will choose to get something out of life rather than to give something. And
right.
the moment they make that choice, it's like they lose consciousness. The moment you make the choice to serve humanity, to serve the best parts of life, then that is the moment you've made a choice to serve creation. And you make those moments every second. You make those conscious decisions every second. And when you choose to serve humanity or live in the world to be the best you can be, there are profound consequences. Just like there are profound consequences when you serve in the world not to serve humanity. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. This is the vow of the Bodhisattva, or this is the human. This is the human condition. We are here to know that we're in it together, and our consciousness is connected. So, only by serving another can I actually help evolve myself. As soon as I make a separation, then I'm separating from something that's a part of me, and that creates that.
Yes. So, and that's what's so beautiful about it. And I think that you and I and many people are aware that this planet is really on the brink of its own self-destruction. And, you know,
and at the same time, its own, you know, leap into consciousness, evolution.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And that is like what's really being stressed here is the development of consciousness. People have put value on money. People have put value on things. They have treated humanity as objects, like objectifying. We have destroyed the earth through oil. We have destroyed the earth through gas. We have destroyed the earth. And the earth is a living thing, right? It's a being. It's not separate from us. So we're in a situation that's really intense and urgent. And I look around and I think, wow, you know, most people go about their daily business without any thoughts of humanity or humankind or serving or being environmentally, you know, conscious.
So these beings came to you from this other universe and they said, well, what did they look like, first of all, and then tell me what their message was?
There are a couple that I've seen that I'm most tied to, the blue entities. These blue beings they're so exquisite because they're translucent, and I've seen them in different states of materialization. I've seen them move through the walls and windows and doors, and you see them in different states of materialization. And a lot of times the blue beings are, in my experience, are the ones that are like guardians or caretakers or entities that come to serve you, to help you accomplish what it is you accomplish in the world. Or if your desire, your inclination, your soul, your heart is to serve humankind like you do in your show, then the possibility of these same beings being around you is fairly, fairly great and really obvious, in that they are leading you and helping you help others. And, you know, they don't care. Okay, so there's those beings. And then
do they have arms and legs, or are they more
light? Yes, I'm sorry. They do. They do have a head. They do have arms and legs, and they are part of the human human being world. Only they live on a different planet, and that planet has a different gravitational system, and they have existed much longer in the universe than humankind has. So they're more evolved, profoundly
more
evolved.
Part of the human world, meaning they are genetically related to us, or
yes,
we're related to them. Yes,
they are like us, except for the fact that they're awake. And they understand what they're doing, and their only interest in is serving the greater good of humanity. And so they come, and, you know, I want to say they talk to me, but it's really not like that. It's like it's all mind to mind, and I go in them, and they go in me, and I don't feel separate from them. But it's not that you can feel separate from any human being on Earth or the Earth itself once you awaken. Once you go into union consciousness,
so you've merged with these beings. They're part of your consciousness. You're part
they're
of their
part
consciousness.
Of my. They're part of my, not just my mind, which is what we think of oftentimes when we say consciousness, but it's cellular. Like, to awaken is not just a thinking event. It is a cellular event, and it has implications on a physical level for all creation. And it is just the most profound experience and the most profound way to be in the world that someone can, you know, be fortunate enough to experience.
Well, talk about that, because that's interesting, because a lot of people talk about awakening as a psychological or a mental or an awareness,
right.
And you're saying it's cellular, it's embodied.
The conscious awareness is definitely a state of consciousness. A conscious state of awareness, being one with all things, that's a beautiful thing to think. But when it's cellular, you are that. So then everything in the universe is you.
How does it become
so
cellular? How do you get that in your, that awareness, that knowledge, or whatever it is,
that?
In the cells?
I think that, you know, for me, when that came and they told me that it was time to remember, and they took me to a place, they took me to a precipice, if you will, and literally... The only way I can describe it, but these are words, they're not the same as the experience, but let me share it this way. It's like they shoved me off a precipice of time and space. And in that moment, time and space collapsed. And they are not the thing. You're the thing, or you're the master of your own consciousness. Mm-hmm. You determine who you're going to be. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was shocking. It was exquisite. It was terrifying.
Well, and what actually happened? Can you describe your actual experience?
They took me on the ship. It was the first time I realized that they came in ships.
With your body or with your consciousness?
They took me with my body because, you see, it is cellular. It is not thinking. That's why education can be a gift, or it can be devastatingly deleterious to human beings, because it can either shrink your consciousness or help you develop. So, especially education on this planet, because it's very focused.
But they
took you on
a ship, and then what happened?
Well, they did things to my body, which were shocking. They told me that my DNA was completely activated. They all seemed pretty happy about it. Mm-hmm. I, however, was not feeling all warm and fuzzy about the whole situation, because they had been manipulating my body, and I remembered they had been doing it for years. Now, I was aware of the fact that our physicality are instruments here in this dimension, because that's what I learned from Maharishi. And if you study with all the great teachers, they will tell you that your body is going to determine the capability of your body. How clean is your body? How aware are you? And, of course, you develop that through meditation and disciplines such as Tai Chi and yoga, those kinds of things. But the most important thing that determines your level of consciousness and grace is what's in your heart. because you can be a real mess up. Because I, quite honestly, feel like I've messed up a lot in my life.
You have? What do you mean you messed up? I mean, do we ever mess up, or do we just learn lessons, of course?
Yes, exactly. You're right. You're exactly right. But people call them mistakes, and then they judge you for them sometimes.
Well, I think that's part of our evolution, is not judging ourselves and learning.
Yes.
And really choosing to learn.
Yes.
Yes.
And seeing when you make a mistake, you know, it's just an opportunity to see something else.
Exactly. I mean, I think that's a good way to not judge ourselves and keep the process moving of our evolution.
Exactly. That keeps your process moving forward. And the less time you take berating yourself, the faster you can move through time and space to get to who you really are.
Right. So so you're on the ship. They're doing stuff to your body. They're saying your DNA is activated. And then what's happening?
So then they took me into another part of the ship. And now these were two beings. One was a doctor. I know you've heard that before. One was a female. They were beautiful blue beings. They looked very much like the aliens, the gray beings, only I have never seen these beings gray, and I have been with them a lot.
But the grays aren't so beautiful. You know, they're sort of like really scary and ugly.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Excuse me. They are so beautiful.
They are? The little grays? They are?
Oh, yes. If you see them as light, the light beings that they are. Oh, and I have pictures of them, actually.
Thank you. I'd like to see the pig, but thank you, because, you know, I guess what's scary is, and we can talk about the shock, the ontological shock, as John Mack used to say, of your reality not being what you think it is.
Yes, and you know, on that ship, I realized that there was nothing in my life that was the way I thought it was, even going to be with Maharishi. Even going to be with the Tibetan Lamas, even getting married, having a child, going to university. I understood that when I went to university that it was part of my training because I was in neuroscience. I never took a science class in high school, but when I got to college, I was like straight A all the way through science. I just ate it up.
Right,
because
you were activated to kind of assimilate that level of...
Exactly. And that was before the beings came and told me it was time to remember. I was in my 20s.
Oh, that's the name of your book, Time to Remember.
It's Time to Remember, yeah.
And I have that book, and I really liked it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. But
so
you're
on the ship with the blue, beautiful blue beings, and they say, and then what, when they take you to this other part with the doctor and the female? What happens next, though,
What happened next? Was they took me into another area, and at that moment I realized I was up above you know, the Three Sisters Mountains in Cascade?
Yep. The Mackenzie Pass. Yeah, I love that area.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that gorgeous?
Cougar Dam and Hot Springs are on the other side.
Oh, it's staggeringly beautiful up there, isn't it?
It's pretty volcanic, but yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
it really is.
You were at Three Sisters. That always felt a little strange to me, that area, you know.
It's pretty interesting. It's pretty. There are some, you know, places, as you know, throughout the world that are, you know, really important spots on Earth. Like, maybe we can
Shasta,
go ahead. So
Sedona.
They took me into this other room, right?
Yes.
And it felt like an initiation.
Uh-huh.
But I was still kind of reeling in the feeling of seeing these entities and having them touch me, having them look. I mean, when somebody takes their hand and puts it directly into your body, which is, you think, solid, and they're putting it in, and they part the molecules, and their molecules become one with your molecules, and vice versa, it is profoundly shocking. And they took this implant out of me, which was looked like a Christmas tree. But if you know me, I like Christmas. It was two triangles piggyback, and they said I didn't need it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then anyway, they took me in. They said that the doctor was on one side and the female on the other, and they said they just said it's time to remember, and it was like. I could feel myself going, you know those old Star Trek movies where you see them go into warp drive?
Right, that's how it felt.
That's how it felt. I felt, and like I could just feel all life passing through me and around me, and it was just, the speed was staggering. I mean, it was so fast. And then suddenly I got to this place where there was nothing there, no sound, and I knew that all time and all space was gone in that place, and I could feel my body being connected to everything in the universe. And I felt myself being like the Omega and Alpha in that moment, and I remembered how much I loved humanity and how there was no blame anywhere on Earth. And then the doctor said, you were chosen. And now I have to really qualify this in my mind. I never, when he said that, it never came into me feeling like I'm better.
Right.
I can't feel that I'm better if you're me, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, right. I know what you mean. It's like you were chosen, and that's just how it is. Someone has to be chosen.
Yeah, well, or, you know, whatever. I don't know.
No, I know what you mean. It's not an ego thing. It's just how
Thank
it is.
You.
I don't sense it. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And so they said, your job is to activate those whose time it is to remember. And So
how do we do that for the people listening? How can you do it for me? I mean, how are you doing it?
How do you do that? It's so easy. What it is, it's the vibration and the quality of your essence that emits out of you. It's not anything more. It's not anything less. I mean, obviously, there are people I work with. I work with clinicians, and I help them to work with abductees because it is not something that a clinician who studied Freud can go and work with an abductee. You just can't do that. That's insulting.
Right, because the problem is not psychological. It's ontological.
Thank you.
Yes.
It's the consciousness of humanity. Mm-hmm. Is so,
that's the problem. We've been put ourselves in a box, and we think
it is.
And I'm writing about this myself, so that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk about your perspective, because if we knew how big we were already, we'd be open.
We wouldn't be cruel to each other, would we?
No, but we'd all and we'd also be open to these other beings that are here.
Yes. They're all around. I think, what was it, yesterday or the day before? I can't remember. One night I counted in less than a half an hour, I counted 23 beings on my land, in my house.
But so you're here to wake other people up. So how are you doing it? And can you do it now? Wake us
well,
up.
Well, initially, you know, I probably told you I went out and I lectured and gave classes and did all that kind of stuff. And it was interesting. It was really hard. Because it, you know, it destroyed my marriage and my family. But you have to do something, and you can't think about what you need or what you want. I spent hundreds of thousands of dollars traveling because I didn't feel like it was. I felt it was important to tell people what they wanted me to tell them, and that's that. You know that they're here and they want to help us and. And not to be afraid of them, and they're not here to harm us. They're not here to harm us. I'm always devastated when I hear people out there with all their fear-based consciousness.
I know. It's ridiculous. I agree. But they're not here to harm us, but they will shake you up, you know?
They want to help us. You know, they're not as concerned about shaking us up as they are about giving us the knowledge we need in order to overcome the darkness that we live in, the ignorance, I should say, that we live in, the states of unkindness and the war and all these kinds of things. And they've always been here. All we have to do is look to our right and our left and up above and below, and they're right there next to us, but we are not acknowledging the gifts we have as human beings. And that's why we're in the situation we're in.
But do the grays, what they call the grays, have a different agenda, a genetic agenda, or is that part of the same program as you see?
You know,
it?
Sweetheart, excuse me, I hope you don't mind me calling.
It's okay.
You that.
Oh, I like it. It sounds nice.
Okay. There's just so much disinformation out there about the grays and this group and that group, and well, and these people are lying and these people are lying. But honestly, if you change your consciousness and choose to be kind, then it doesn't matter what's coming at you that's negative. You're going to transform it into something good. And that was the mistake that Eisenhower made. I read a lot about how he was offered an opportunity to help this planet develop spiritually, but instead he chose technology, which is a material representation and not as profound. But what he didn't understand, say if that whole thing is true, I don't know if it is, but let's just pretend it is for the moment.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But so he doesn't understand that spirituality, which is the basis of all creation, it's the thing that lies under all manifest mm-hmm. worlds, all manifest universes. It is that substance that sustains the quarks in an atom, that in the middle of the nucleus, it sustains the protons and the neutrons and the quarks inside the nucleus of an atom. It floats in emptiness, and that is where the soul exists. That's where essence is. That is where love is. That is where we all reside in. So to choose like something insignificant, like a technological construct over an infinite reality, over mastery of infinite space and time, was staggeringly stupid.
Well, it's another one of those experiences we had to learn, you know, the hard way. But we're coming to a time now, I mean, people have predicted this time. Are we going to have, like, some visible help, or do we have to really do it on our own the old-fashioned way through consciousness?
What I am experiencing with them right now is that there is actually intervention. Mm-hmm. That's going on in different governments throughout the world. Mm-hmm. And they use, okay, so say for instance, okay, this is intense, but I guess I'll share it.
Please,
they will say I've been here, I don't know, I'm on Earth, I look human. So say for instance, they take me at night to take me someplace to share knowledge with maybe a diplomat or a government people. Mm-hmm. Or so these people need to be intervened upon to have their minds changed about their behavior. And a really important one is the beings are very concerned about what China has done to Tibet. Who cares who owns Tibet?
Right.
Those human beings have spent thousands of years cultivating human arts that serve the well-being of the species, human species. So they are not, the beings are not very happy, if you will, if I can speak about it that way, even though it's not quite that way.
Right.
About
yeah.
what the Chinese have done to the Tibetan people. They're very upset about that.
Mm-hmm.
So there is intervention, and it's going on right now as we speak.
But there's not going to be any mass sightings, planetary.
You know, I think they realize how terrified most of 99% of humanity would be with an event like that. I'm not saying they won't because, you know, they don't consult with me. But my sense is at this particular time is that they work better through people mm-hmm. that look human.
Right.
So that people, that, you know, like that one particular situation where they had me talking to this person, it was like they were feeding me the information and that I would speak it in a way that that person could understand it. And that is something I've experienced. I don't know if how many other people are being involved in that kind of experience with the beings and with people on this planet. But
I was just wondering what the I want to talk about these beings, and maybe even you have them talk through you if that's possible. But I'm also interested in the genetic part where they have taken people, abducted, whatever you want to call it, and shifted DNA for what reason? Because I feel that's happened to me.
They're not taking people who aren't supposed to be taken.
Right. I understand that. I'm happy that I was taken, and I'm happy they did whatever. But yeah. What did they do?
Okay. So let's just say you have a Ford, mm-hmm. okay, and your Ford can only go, 80 miles an hour. Let's say it's a Ford Falcon, an old Ford Falcon, blue, mm-hmm. nice, cute car. But it can only go, 70, 80 miles an hour. Oh, I'm exaggerating. Let's say 60 comfortably without shaking. Okay. Now, let's take that car in and put in an 8-cylinder engine in it, or put in a Mercedes engine or a Jaguar XKE engine or a Ferrari or a Maserati. I like those cars. Then that entity becomes something highly functioning. It becomes different. And that's what they're doing. They're changing our DNA. They're changing our physical bodies so that we can share information with them, so that we are open to receive information. I think one of the most shocking things I realized was that your body has to be tuned to those levels of creation. It's not enough to be open. You have to do the work on your body,
how do we do that work? The meditation, the
mindset, maintaining the view, learning skill sets, and divorcing yourself from behaviors that feed your delusional mind. That's how you change your consciousness,
that delusional mind. Everything around us is the delusion we've been programmed for.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But honestly, if they're taking you and changing your DNA, which I feel certain of, then even if you're a goofy person and don't think you're worth anything, that's not a determining factor. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I mean, there's something bigger happening here.
Something.
Yes, absolutely.
And you know, if your heart is there, there's no stopping it from coming to you. I mean, there's no way to stop your evolution. If there's no way to make it happen, and there's no way to stop it from happening. But the most important thing is, what is in your mind and what is in your heart? What do you value most? Can you give up that Mercedes and, you know, buy a bunch of Indian children, Hindu children, mm-hmm. say, that work in the garbage dumps of Calcutta? Yeah. Can you give that money to them and maybe buy yourself a Kia? You know what I'm saying? Right. Do you have that kind of heart? And then that's a big gesture. I'm not suggesting. But what you're doing, for instance. What you're doing?
Yeah, I'm doing
really
my thing. Thanks. But I'm just looking at. I'm doing what I can. I mean, I try to. Of course, you know. Maybe there's more I could do. But my focus is on, you know, the connection, and that's what excites me, and people you.
When you said that just a moment ago, you said, maybe there's more I can do. That is what a person says who has a profoundly pure intent. because there's an awareness that we can always do more. And anybody who thinks like that has an exquisite soul. Anybody, those are the people I value most in my life. Those are the students or the clinicians that come to me and say, Joy, you know, help me. Because my, really, I'm very good at destroying people's perceptions of reality. I'm very good at it. But I don't really like being out there anymore. It's just too intense for me. So yeah. Working with somebody takes a requirement from them to want to be the best they can be, more than they want to find a new boyfriend, new girlfriend, get laid, whatever. You understand what I'm saying?
Totally understand. Thank you for saying that to me. It kind of brought tears to my eyes in the sense
it's true. It's true. Yeah. I have one particular student who never feels she's good enough. And that was how I was before they came. I never felt, so I was always trying to be better. I was always looking for ways to be better. Even though I failed miserably, I'm certain, they only cared about the fact that I wanted to be a good human being. And I never talked about being enlightened. I didn't care about enlightenment. I didn't care about that stuff. I just wanted to be a good human being. I wanted to be of value. I was a director of a child abuse agency and worked as a expert witness for the district attorney's office and attorney general's office. And I put my life on the line a lot. But but I would do it all over again, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you have students. And what is it that you teach your students, what we're talking about?
Most of the people I work with now are clinicians. And people who are going to be working with abductees, because that's really where I want to be. But I guess the best way I can say what I do is I work very hard to destroy the way people think, because the way that you think, not just you, but the way human beings think is the very thing that keeps them from being awake. So you're creating these shows to help people open up or give people a venue to talk about things that aren't necessarily in the culture. Right. Say, for instance, today, Anderson Cooper, whom I've always perceived as a very credible investigative reporter, had UFO stuff on, and I was devastated to hear him have people on who said that these experiences were only happening in the United States, and that people were really crazy, and it was all spiritual, Mongu, Guga stuff.
But those people are living in a very limited reality, and that's, you know, that's all they see. If you look out of a small crack in the wall at the world, you're going to just see a part of the sky. If you look at a bigger picture, you're going to see more. But most people believe their view of the universe of reality is the only right one. And that's what we need to learn.
That's damaging, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's profoundly damaging. And even
fundamentalism.
Pardon?
No, it's a form of fundamentalism. So what Dr. Anderson was preaching.
And that is one of the things I really have issues with some of the people who get into this phenomenon or have experiences, and then they create another, kind of fundamentalist religion out of it, which is something I'm not really into. I think it's very pragmatic.
Oh, I know. But give us a perspective, because this is what I'm really trying to understand, the thing that I'm writing about the multidimensional awareness that we are, and sort of allow the trust, I don't know, I want to call it the imagination, I want to call it something beyond that's here. You know what I'm saying?
How
do you give us a sense?
How do you get
listening?
There? How do you get to a point where... Well, I'm going to tell you, part of it is physical. And that goes back to you talking about what are they doing to our DNA. Our DNA has to be altered so that we can take in more energy into our body so that we can tap into other layers of creation. That is like primal. You know, if you're driving around with a Ford Falcon, you're not going to have the same experience of life if you're driving around with a XKE or a Maserati or a Ferrari. We want to have a body that can experience all those layers of consciousness, and the only way that to do that is to change the way we look at the world. And how we do that is through meditation, through yoga, through putting ourselves, one of the most important things is to make sure that you're hanging out with people who have advanced levels of consciousness. Because mm-hmm. you hang out with somebody who doesn't have any level of consciousness, and you're going to be in the same space as him. So there's teachers out there, I saw it out there all the time, who say, put down the alien abduction thing, or put down aliens, put down all those things, but they profess to be enlightened beings. There's no way that a person can be enlightened and not know about these beings who live in other universes and live in other layers of creation. Absolutely no way.
Of course, so, I had a little argument with Ken Wilber, who wrote The Theory of Everything. I may ask him directly what he thought of other beings, and he said to me, well, you sort of look like one, and that, he didn't have anything more to say, but his whole model is based on one of evolution, that we come together as tribes, as family, as tribes, as states, as country, as a planet, and the only next logical step is to come together as planets, as groups of planets, as collective consciousness
right.
in a larger way. And Wilber, he's a great guy, he's doing his thing, but he's totally unconscious to the fact that
yes.
other consciousnesses. Yeah,
I find this a lot in highly educated people who have focused so intently on one thing that they're not open to, the vastness of the universe. And, you have to be willing to put yourself in situations where you're going to get hurt or killed, or you have to be...
You have to stand up and speak out,
Yes, have to be willing to risk everything.
The guy who did Thrive. Did you see Thrive, the movie, Thrive?
What movie?
It's called Thrive, T-H-R-I-V-E, Thrive,
No, I haven't, but I will look at that.
We'll do see it, because that guy stood up, risked everything. He talks about UFOs and ETs and free energy technology, and then has now recently been denounced by a lot of the New Age conscious teachers saying that it was too fanatical.
Who cares?
It's like people are only willing to go so far, even if they're in the consciousness field.
What I found is that if somebody is having these experiences, that doesn't mean they're integrated. That doesn't mean that they're in all facets of their consciousness, their physicality, their awareness. Did you study, have you ever studied Gurdjieff?
A little bit.
Or the Fourth Way?
A little bit. It was a little boring for me.
It's so heady that I don't like that stuff. But one of the things I did like about it is he talked about shocks and how if you're not developing shocks yourself for yourself, then creation, in order to help you evolve, will develop shocks. And when you get these hits or shocks, it changes your consciousness.
And I agree. Why I call my program New Realities, for that very reason, that
to
reality
shock
is
people.
Not what we thought it was.
No, there's nothing about this world, the way it looks, that's true. When you look out the window or look at people, it's beautiful, but, I know I'm just a hologram. I mean, they told me that I was a hologram being projected and that I live really where I've always lived. And that, and where I live, I'm just in school and I'm less than 20 years old. I'm a teenager and I'm taking a class, and we live to be 800 to 1,000 years old, Earth years.
And do you feel that consciousness now?
Yes. I feel like, I look at myself and in this world, I'm a 63-year-old woman, but in the world inside myself, in the world I live in, I'm very young, and I'm with my people all the time, my people, my blue people, and the golden beings. So they're always with me. You know,
but what you said about shocks is also what Heraclitus said, expect the unexpected because it's difficult and hard to find. I mean, everyone wants to live in their safe, secure, predictable world, and the world isn't that way.
No, there's no such place. And if it was like that, there'd be no evolution.
Right. And the other end of that, if it's not safe, secure, and predictable, then it's full of wonder and magic and mystery.
Yes. I mean, even sometimes I know things are going to happen, but how they happen is always exquisite to watch.
Right.
You know, like when you contacted me.
You don't want to do interviews. I know. I mean, I felt the resistance because here's another I know.
Well, you know that people like me, I get my life threatened and it's just part of it. There's a lot of people out there that this topic absolutely terrifies them. And that's what's awesome about it in a way, too, is that...
So great about you is, though, you've lived this truth. You have no doubt. You're out there, and you are... You're living the multidimensional life, and you're also very human. You know, you laugh, sing, cry,
very human.
Scream. but that's all.
Well, when I was talking about doing an interview, or when we were talking about it, they whispered in my ear, it was so. They're so sweet. Please, excuse me, but they're just. Dense and vile, and there's none of that in these beings. They don't even think unkind thoughts. And when I think unkind thoughts, and I have thought unkind thoughts, they blow me off like they didn't even happen. They don't matter. Okay, you had that thought, now let's get back to, what's important here, what we need to do. Totally one-pointed, totally focused. We have to do whatever we can do to protect the Earth from itself, from its own destruction. And that is the message I get from them every second that I live in this world.
Is that what you're... I was going to ask you what you might be getting now as they whisper in your ear now.
It's the love. They want to share because that's where the essence, that's where, it's not that, Buddhism is better than, Muslim or Muhammad or the Pope or Catholicism better. All religions have the basic tenet of love within them, and then humanity destroys the soul of the religion by making it about them and not about something else or someone else. Like, I'm a woman, so I'm better than you. You are me. So how can I look at you and say, I'm better than you?
Well, of course, I always say Jesus was not a Christian and Buddha wasn't a Buddhist,
No. And Buddha talked about this in his scriptures. He talked about...
He said, "Be a lantern unto yourself." He said,
You come and go into. If you want goodness in the world, you make it inside yourself. Mm. You change your own mind to be a vessel of infinite grace and love. You don't make other people. And he talked about, Buddha has scriptures about this dimension, this planet, and other dimensions, and how this isn't the most evolved planet out there, definitely.
Right. I agree, but it seems like more and more people are talking about this level of multidimensionality, this kind of weaving or this bleeding through... of levels.
That's beautiful. I like that, the way you said that, the bleeding
and
through.
And it is going to shock people. It is.
Yes, it's exactly like that. That's how I experience it, too. Say, for instance, when the beings are talking to me, I'm not unaware of, Joni's sitting here, and you're on the phone, and you're talking to people, and, an audience of people who listen to you, and there's your producer there, and there's you know, that's as multidimensional as experiencing different levels of creation.
Let me just absorb that. Let me just take that. So you're saying I'm talking to you, and my awareness is there, but my awareness is also part of the
Person's
listening, the people's listening, and so my awareness is sort of multifaceted, even though in this kind of immediacy, it's focused on you and what we're saying.
Right. But but that doesn't exclude all the other areas of creation that you're involved in this moment. Oh. I've met people on the ships that have no idea they're abductees. Yeah. I have met people that I've met on the, like I went to Portugal, and, you know, part of what I did was connect with some human beings who needed me to touch them or tell them hi or just connect with them so they could remember as they grew up who I was.
Yeah, but no, I mean, I appreciate that, but I'm just trying to really absorb this point that you said that really opened a little door for me, and it was always so obvious, but you pointed it out. So my awareness is multifaceted because I'm aware of all these different aspects of myself in a way, and my relationships with all of them, and I'm living that in this moment, like my relationships with my mother, my brothers, and you know, these, and they're all part of me in this moment, creating me as a multidimensional consciousness, because my consciousness is in all those places.
Yes.
In all those relations. I guess that's why the Native Americans would say all my relations, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like all the people who've come before who are part of your gene pool, all the people will come in
my
the future.
My producer said we have to wrap it up soon.
Okay.
But no, I just want to just finish that point because I think it's really key, and we'll do more of these conversations because they're just
Sounds good.
But just wrap it up and tell us again what you want to leave people with as far as all this, and I appreciate all the work you do on the ships and helping people awaken and all that. So leave us with it.
That they're more than they think they are. And in order to become more, they have to give up what they think is true about the world. That's the most important thing. You cannot see if you're projecting your mindset on the world around you. You cannot see the world if you're looking at it with the mindset of somebody who told you what to see.
You cannot? Say that part again.
You can't see the world if you're looking at it through the lens and the mindset that you've been told to see, like through your religion or through your school institutions, from your parents, from your family. You cannot see the world if you're looking at it through your thinking mind. You have to be able to feel the world with your whole body, with every part of your being, with all the molecules and atoms within you. To see the world that way is really profound. Instead of projecting your idea of what you think the world is, let what you think go and allow yourself to take in everything around you and see it from another place.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you. I am going to do that, and we will have more conversations. Thank you. I've been talking to Joy Gilbert. What's that?
Night.
Wait, say that again? What?
Have a good night. I enjoyed talking with you.
And your website, aliencontacttherapy.com, but it's more than alien contact therapy. It's everything, isn't it?
It is everything. It is everything. You're right. Okay, sweetheart.
Thanks, Joy.
Have a nice night.
Okay, I'll let you know when this is posted. Okay, bye. Bye. I've been talking to Joy Gilbert from the website Alien Contact Therapy, who is really, I think, on the cutting edge of this multidimensional awareness that seems to be happening to many people in many different forms. I'll be having more guests talking about that. Richard Bartlett doing matrix energetics. He's another person who's bringing that level of consciousness in. to new realities. So thanks for listening tonight. This is Alan Steinfeld. And if you have any questions, email me at newrealities@earthlink.net and check my website, newrealities.com. Thank you.